piece. What does it look like I'm doing? Well, because I'm getting ready.
Yeah. Okay. What for?
Well, I'm training.
Okay. What for?
I'm training for the race.
Okay, that's usually what people train for.
Well, yeah, I'm training for the race because Hebrews 12:1 tells us, my friends, all these many people who have had faith in God are all around us like a cloud. Let us put everything out of our lives that keeps us from doing what we should. Wow. Let us keep running the race that God has planned for us. Let us keep looking to Jesus. Our faith comes from him, and he is the one who makes it perfect. He did not give up when he had to suffer shame and die on a cross. He knew of the joy that would be his later. And now he is at the right side of God. Amen. And tonight we're here, we're going to talk about lesson 14, which is called Ready. And my name is Bree. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus. And I struggle with fear and grief, but I am finding victory in setting healthy boundaries in relationships. And so we're here, we're going to talk about principle 5, which is to voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask him to remove my character defects. And Matthew 5:6 tells us, happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. And this is part of step 6. We were entirely ready to have God remove all of our defects of character. And that verse is James 4:10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. So if you're new tonight, welcome. We're so glad you're here. Tonight is just about the halfway point in a whole year-long series of teachings that we do. And actually, I think you've come at a perfect spot. Just about 4 years ago, I came just about this time, kind of in the middle. And one of the teachings that I remember most was lesson 18 on grace. And I had never in my life heard such stories and principles and practical things that I could do every day in my life that actually would include things like grace and forgiveness and bring peace. And that was so pivotal for me in my journey to start at that point and to understand that there's this amazing thing called grace. So I think you're actually at the right place right now. However, we do kind of have to go back to the beginning. So we need to go back and we need to come out of our denial. We need to admit that we need help and that we're powerless to control our tendency to do the wrong things, that our lives have become unmanageable. And when we do that, we're given a glimmer of hope. And that can give us some sanity to do the work to turn our lives over to the care and control of Jesus Christ. And then, when we have some sanity, we begin the long and difficult process of working on our fearless spiritual inventory. If we're working our program, we've found a sponsor who's like a coach. We've also found accountability partners to help us and guide us walk through this thing called an inventory. And once we've taken the time to search our past, search our souls, and we write down all of the yucky things that we've done and that have been done to us, we take one of the most bravest steps of all, and that is to actually speak it out loud to ourselves, to God, and to someone I trust, who's usually your sponsor. And that brings us here tonight to Ready. But a lot of people think that once you've done all that heavy lifting of writing your inventory and then being so brave as to give it, that you've kind of reached the pinnacle on this journey of healing. But I will tell you that yes, that step, those steps are tremendous in breaking the chains that bind us to our past and our secrets and all of that yuckiness, that guilt and shame that we live in. But I will tell you that I experienced actually the most healing in the steps to come, in giving amends, seeking and asking forgiveness, and giving grace. Those were the steps that meant so much to me in my journey. And so in order to do that, we have to get ready. So my friends, I ask you to open your hearts and open your minds. And I ask you, are you ready? So obviously, my little attire here, we're going to talk about running a race, right? So when you prepare to run a race, there are certain things that you do. And really anybody can call themselves, or really anybody can like go and run, right? I mean, most people here probably have. And some of you probably even know some really crazy athletic people who don't even train. They're just like, oh yeah, I think tomorrow I'm bored. I'm going to go run a half marathon. And then they literally like get up the next day and just go run a half marathon. No training, no preparation. Does anybody here know how long, how many miles a half marathon is? 13.1, right. So that is like starting here and running all the way to OHSU Hospital on the hill in downtown Portland. That's 13.4 miles away. So imagine just all of a sudden one day deciding, oh, I'm just going to feel like I'm going to run downtown. And then when you actually arrive at OHSU, like you're actually good enough that you don't need to check yourself into the emergency room. Like you could do it, right? Like you're okay. But come on, don't you agree that most people who are going to take the time to run a race or a marathon, they're probably going to do some preparation. They're probably going to do some training. And recovery is kind of the same thing, isn't it? Sure, you can just show up and you can go to step study or come here on Wednesday night and you could have a cute outfit and maybe even have a fancy watch that you kind of sort of know how to use or, oh yeah, here's my water bottle. I got a cool sport bottle. You too can buy one at REI, right? So we can do all these things. We can kind of go through the motions, but it's not really the same thing, is it? So like a dedicated runner, there's things that we need to do. So on your sheet, the first one, the R, is release control. So when you decide to train for an event, it's about time dedication. So releasing control is also about making conscious decisions, just like when you have to make a decision to dedicate time. And so when we release control, we have to let God into every area of our lives. We can't say, okay, you can have all this stuff, but I'm going to keep this over here. And we do that. But that would kind of be like a runner saying, okay, body, here you go. You can have my quad muscles to run that race. But you can't have my calf muscles. Mm-mm. Nope, those are mine. You can't have those. I mean, that would be, first of all, you wouldn't be able to run. And second of all, that would be the craziest thing ever. Why would you, you know, strip yourself, your body, of the power of having all of your muscles work together in one kind of package? So why do we do that with God? We say, you can have all this stuff, and then we just keep these little things on the side. And I have to tell you, last week's teaching on Admit really stirred something in my life. And there's this one particular issue that only recently in the last like couple months, if you've been in small group with me, that I've shared. And so I wanted to take this opportunity to, for the really first time, share it publicly. And that is that I have a very close family member who has been struggling with alcoholism. And it started about 10, 12 years ago, and the last 5 or 6 has become really bad. Really bad. And there's been some victory in some sobriety, and there's been some pain in some relapsing. And this is a situation that directly affects me on a daily basis. And I was sitting in small group one day, and this has been going on, you guys, for a while. And I realized I've never talked about it. I mean, unless you're in my little tiny inner circle, you wouldn't know about it. And how can I release that to God and ask him to work on that in my life if I can't even talk about it in a safe place like a small group? And so I'm here just like you guys. I want to release that. I want to tell God, I want you to work on that and all the other stuff that I haven't been giving to you. I don't want that secret to hold any more shame and power over me. And so I ask you, do you have a secret? Or maybe it's not a secret. Maybe it's something that you actually know, But you're like, nah, I'm going to keep it over here. I don't want to deal with the hurt, the pain, the shame, the guilt. It's too hard. Are any of you guys doing that? So I'm telling you guys about this because I don't want it to have power anymore. And you know what? It's not my job to fix it, and it's not my fault either. This person, it's their journey. So I ask you, are you ready to release control? Psalm 143:10 says, "Help me to do your will, for you are my God. Lead me in good paths, for your spirit is good." So E, our next training activity is actually easy does it. Okay, did you guys know, excuse me, that there's actually a training methodology, that's called a fartlek. I'll say that again. It's called a fartlek. It's actually a Swedish term, in case you were curious, and it's just a fancy, complicated name for interval training. And so basically what you do is, let me get caught up here. So it's pretty simple, and it combines fast running and slow running together in a purposeful way to gain more endurance. So it's kind of like, this is what it would look like, right? So if you're actually a really good fast runner, so you would do this on purpose. You would run really fast, like a 6-minute mile is a really fast pace, say for half a mile or so, a given distance. And then for another given distance, you would purposely run at a slower pace, like an 8-minute mile. Okay? Now, if you're more of a beginner runner or you don't run really fast like me, I run and I run far, I just don't run fast. So if I wanted to get better, my fartlek might look like I would run a 10-minute mile pace, and then I might walk for a little bit, right? So that is what interval training is all about. And isn't that kind of what recovery is a little bit like too, right? Like sometimes, you know, things are just really clicking, and we can run really fast with God, and we get a lot out of it, and it's really beneficial. And then other times, we kind of just have to slow down and walk. But this step goes a little bit deeper. This principle goes a little bit deeper. A lot of us can white knuckle through stopping a bad behavior or a sin, if you will, for long periods of time. Long periods of time. But this idea, the idea of this step and this principle is to go deeper and actually address the character defect, which then leads to the sin. So, for example, if I were to strain my quad muscle, there are a lot of different reasons why I did it. Like I was tired, I didn't stretch, I didn't have enough sleep, I was dehydrated. Those are all really simple excuses of why I pulled my quad muscle. But really, what's the deeper issue? Well, I overslept. But why did I oversleep? I mean, think about the real root cause. Well, maybe it's because I have a low self-worth, and I really just don't care. So I've developed a form of apathy, where I just kind of go, whatever. But isn't it also like an addiction? So, sure, you can have this sin of drinking or drugs or porn or shopping, but what's the character defect? That's the underlying issue. Isn't it oftentimes a lack of positive self-image? And I heard this the other day, and it talks about it in that Hebrews verses I started with. And it was, do you ever consider that as Jesus was being crucified, that he was actually scared? Or that he felt a broad range of emotions like shame? That had never occurred to me. And so, friends, I tell you, you are not alone in those feelings of just pain and shame and guilt and whatever it is. You are not alone. And that lack of positive self-image or whatever it is that is the character defect, the lie that you're believing, can come from so many different things. It can come from an abusive or an alcoholic parent. an overly strict and performance-driven family. There's one thing, though, that a lot of us struggle with, and we don't talk a lot about it, and that is sexual abuse. And I did some research, and the statistics are scary. If you are a victim of childhood abuse, you are 3 times more likely to suffer from depression. You are 6 times more likely to suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, 13 times more likely to abuse alcohol, 26 more times likely to abuse drugs, and 4 times more likely to contemplate committing suicide. The reported statistics are 1 in 5 girls and 1 in 10 boys are sexually molested. But many agencies believe that that is actually very low because so many cases go unreported. So when we go through our sub-studies, there's a separate sheet. If you have been a victim of sexual abuse, there's a separate sheet that we give out. And the very top, it says, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. You are not responsible. And so many people don't address these deep-rooted childhood issues. And I ask you, if that is something that you are struggling with, you are in a safe place. We have a women's small group for abuse recovery, seeking therapy and counseling. And I ask you, don't keep those secrets locked up in that door. Hand that over, and God can redeem you. You are his beautiful creation, and you can be healed. So easy does it. Work on the defects of character. Work on the lie, not just the sin. So next, the A. Our third training activity is to accept the change. So as we do our weekly long runs and short runs, our bodies get stronger. Our lung capacity increases. We can run longer, further, faster. It's more enjoyable. You know, everything gets stronger. And the more we train, the more our bodies change. And again, recovery work is the same thing. The more we practice releasing control, we do a daily quiet time, we pray to God and we ask for his guidance, and then we understand and then we start following his will, and then he starts to change us from the inside out. However, seeing the need for change and then allowing the change to occur are actually 2 different things. The space between recognition and the willingness to change, that space is oftentimes filled with a tremendous amount of fear. And when there's fear, it can trigger our old dependencies on relying on ourselves. But friends, this principle will not work if you rely on yourself alone. You have to be ready to accept God's help through this transition. He is trying to teach us that all of these steps build together to create a true foundation of ultimate surrender. And James 4:1 tells us, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." So, you know, this whole idea of accepting the change would kind of be like doing months of training runs, like short runs and long runs, and I'm sleeping well, you know, and I'm watching what I eat. And then I decide, you know what, I'll keep my weaker, you know, quad and calf muscles. I'll keep my 15 pounds of extra fat around the midsection. I'll keep my decreased lung capacity. Thanks. I've done all this work, all this training, but nope. I'm not going to accept the change that all that work has produced. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do all this work and then be like, no thanks. So why do we do it in our recovery work? When you've gotten to this point, you've come so far. You've come so far. Accept the change. 2 Corinthians 5:17-18 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here." So the fourth thing we do is D. We do replace our character defects. Many of you, like me, have spent an awful lot of time with our compulsions, our habits, our hang-ups, the things that kept us bound for so long. And when God removes those defects of character, we need to replace them with healthy things. Things like going to church and recovery meetings and volunteering. And if you don't do that, those defects of character will come back. You have a verse about when the Spirit's on your sheet. Matthew 12:43-45. So when the Spirits come back, they're like, sweet, the house is empty. And they go out and they get more of their buddies and they come back. And then it's worse the second time. So replace those defects with positive things. So again, it's just like running a race. I'm doing all this training. I'm running. I'm doing all this work. And to not replace my bad character defects, be like running, and doing all this stuff. And then I would sit on the sofa every night and eat a whole bag of Doritos. Or, just as bad, I would do all of this work, and then the 5 days before the race, every night I would stay up too late, wouldn't get enough sleep, so that by the time race day came, I would be too exhausted to actually run the race. So replace your character defects. But you also need an active support system. We talked early on, I mentioned about accountability partners and sponsors. But it goes beyond that. Those are all really integral things to replacing your character defects. But your family, you need friends. And sometimes, folks, you need new friends. Like, your old friends might be great, but they might be your old friends for a reason. And when you're trying to be a new person, don't do the stuff that you did before. And if that means that the people you hung out with before do the stuff you used to do, well, you might need new friends. And that's okay. You know, a year and change ago, there was a whole bunch of us that didn't really have New Year's plans. So we got together and we had an alcohol-free, a drug-free New Year's Eve party. And it was awesome. And we lit off fireworks, somewhat illegally, but we lit off fireworks. We had soda and juice and we played board games, right? Like, it's possible to still have a good time and just do stuff differently. So don't engage in your old habits. Be a new person and find new activities. So lastly, why? Yield to the growth. So at first, your old self-doubts and low self-image may tell you that you're not worthy of growth and progress. In fact, you may even have people in your life that think your recovery is a bunch of bull. They may even call you a faker directly to your face. And I tell you, don't believe the lie. Don't listen to them. You are worth this work. And so now, are you ready to run the race? You remember what Hebrews told us? Let us put everything out of our lives that keeps us from doing what we should. Let us keep running the race that God has planned for us. Let us keep looking to Jesus. Our faith comes from him, and he is the one who makes it perfect. He did not give up when he had to suffer shame and die on a cross. He knew of the joy that would be his later, and he is sitting at the right hand of God. So yield to the growth and allow the Holy Spirit to work in you from the inside out so that you know all of the abundant gifts that come from knowing Jesus, things like love and peace and joy and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness. And so I ask you, are you just showing up? Are you just that person that just one day is like, I'm going to go run a crazy lot of miles just because? Or maybe you've done your inventory and you're like, yeah, I did all the heavy lifting. Or you like show up in a cute little outfit with your little sport water bottle and you're like, yeah, I'm good. I'm going through the motions. Or are you dedicated to training, to doing the work and actually letting God work in you and then through you? Because there's a really big difference And so my last question is, do you run or are you a runner? Thanks, everybody.